he's not quite a ninja. And he's not quite a superhero. He is Danny Rand, the man with the Iron Fist! And your geek history lesson on Iron Fist is now in session. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I am Jason Steelfist Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson. Welcome to your Mind University because you have stumbled onto the podcast where we take one character, construct, or a martial arty guy from popular culture and teach you everything you need to know about him in about an hour. And this week, we are taking on a Marvel Comics staple. Jason, who are we talking about this week and why?
We are talking about Danny Rand, the Iron Fist! Now, that is a joke that we started in the Luke Cage Geek History lesson, me doing Iron Fist. I will tell you that the amount of times I say Iron Fist in this lesson, I cannot do it every time. I'm going to be selective about
it.
Also,
for emphasis.
Yes, I'm also a little under the weather, so if I sound a little bit different to you, that's why.
I think you sound real sexy right now.
All right, cool.
Very white.
No, we're here to talk about Danny Rand. We're not talking about my voice, all right? we're talking about Danny Rand because if you have Netflix, if you know what Netflix is, there's a little show on Netflix now called Iron Fist.
What?
Yeah, that's right. Stars Danny Rand, also like that. So we thought, you know, we'd let you compare and contrast. We'll tell you the comic book origin, and then you can compare it to the Netflix origin. Now, of course, if at any point in this podcast you're like, what they said is completely wrong, all you got to do is head over to Twitter. Find me at Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. Find Ashley at Ashley V. Robinson. Go find us on Twitter, or you can tweet directly to the podcast. Where, Ashley?
At GHL Podcast.
That's right. We have a Twitter for the podcast now. All right. Now, this lesson was suggested by amazing listeners just like you, requested by Kim Steinberg, Tobias, Austin Baker, and Andy Hash.
Yay!
So you fine listeners out there, be awesome like them.
Yeah.
They're what I like to call, there are heroes for hire. There are listeners for hire of this lesson.
There are TAs for hire.
That's right. All right, so let's move into the first section of this Iron Fist podcast, the 10-cent origin.
Yes, and the 10-cent origin is the part of the podcast where we give you all the basic constructs, creators, and power sets of who we're going to be talking about. In this case, Iron Fist.
That's right. Iron Fist, of course, was published by Marvel Comics. His first appearance was in Marvel Premiere number 15 in May of 1974. He was created by Roy Thomas, the writer, and Gil Kane, the artist.
Mm.
His alter ego is Danny. Most people call him Danny. Daniel Thomas Rand.
Ooh.
Yep. Usually don't get middle names, so here it's interesting.
I know, middle names is like a DC comic staple usually.
His team affiliations have been the Heroes for Hire, the New Avengers, the Defenders, the Immortal Weapons, and the Thunderbolts. And he's had partnerships with Luke Cage, Misty Knight, and Colleen Wing. Also,
cool.
Daredevil and Master Izo. Notable aliases have been the Living Weapon, the Young Dragon, and also Daredevil. You're going to find out about that later. His abilities are he's a master martial artist. He has greatly enhanced physical attributes. He has healing powers and the Iron Fist, which is a concentration of his chi into his single fist. Now let's move on into the meet cute.
The meet cute is the part of the podcast that we stole from romantic comedy writing where we tell you the first time we meted someone and how cute it was.
Ashley, how did you first meet Iron Fist? I'm very curious about this.
I actually don't really know because Iron Fist isn't a character that I know a lot about or I'm super interested in.
Yes!
So,
shock! Oh,
I know. So I've never sat down and read Iron Fist. Except for the Power Man and Iron Fist series currently being published. But that is largely due to my love of Luke Cage.
You're missing out on a lot of ironing. You missed out on a lot of punching things.
Oh, cool. So I feel like Iron Fist is a character that I probably didn't learn about really. I mean, he's around. He's in some events and stuff until I started
working. He kind of is in a lot of Marvel events, yeah.
He is. He's a lot like Miss Marvel pre-Marvel now, like Carol, in that they're always sort of around,
yeah.
Even if they're not the most impactful characters.
Sure.
So I feel like I probably didn't learn who Iron Fist was until I started working at a comic book shop in 2013 and people started asking about him.
All right,
but
cool.
I have no specific memory, unfortunately.
Oh.
So, where did you first meet Danny Rand the Iron Fist?
I first met Danny Rand the Iron Fist in post-Heroes Reborn time.
Your beloved
yes,
Heroes Reborn.
Heroes Reborn's 96, 97. And that, of course, was the event that got me into the Avengers and the Fantastic Four. It was a perfect introduction. Mm-hmm. That was the whole idea. I would love to do a Geek History lesson just on Heroes Reborn. I think there's enough, especially the behind the scenes. The behind the scenes is mind-boggling.
It would be all publication history.
It would be. You could kind of do like the fictional history and then the public. You could do a two-parter, I think.
All right. If you want that, go ahead and request it on our various social media outlets.
I don't know when we'll work it in, but yeah, that would be a fascinating Geek History
lesson. Yeah.
So while they were doing Heroes Reborn, of course, the Avengers, the Fantastic Four were not in the main Marvel universe.
Mm-hmm.
And so Marvel started doing these things where they started doing titles that took place in the power vacuum of the Marvel universe.
Oh, sure.
That's where the Thunderbolts came from.
Your beloved Thunderbolts.
Our beloved
Everything
Thunderbolts.
You love apparently comes out of Heroes
96,
Reborn.
96, 97. It was a great year for comic books. I believe it was also like Batman Legacy time.
I was it's good DC time too.
Yeah. Superman, I think, is around. Or Superman got married that year. I don't know about that. Somewhere around there.
Oh, your beloved Superman.
My beloved Superman mullet. But Iron Fist started appearing in advertisements for a new Heroes for Hire series.
Yeah.
This was the John Ostrander series. And this was the Heroes for Hire series that Iron Fist was kind of in charge.
Mm-hmm.
It was his idea to do the Heroes for Hire. And so in all the amazing art, I can't remember who did the art. I think Pascal Ferry did the art, if I remember.
What a great name.
I'm saying his name right. He did Swamp Thing with Grant Morrison.
Mm-hmm,
or he did
mm-hmm.
Swamp Thing with Scott Snyder, excuse me. Iron Fist is standing at the front of the group. And I was like, who is this guy? At the time, I didn't know who the hell he was. And I started reading that Heroes for Hire series. And that's how I got introduced to Iron Fist. And
cool.
Of course, you know, from there, you know, not much Iron Fist was around. And then Matt Fraction and Ed Brubaker series is where I like really love Danny.
Yeah, that David Aja art.
Yes, it's so amazing. All right, so let's move into History 101.
The History 101 is the main meat of the lesson where Professor Jason is going to take us through space, time, and understanding as we know it and teach us all about Ion Fist.
All right, Ion Fist?
Ion Fist.
Oh, okay. All right.
He's made of ions.
All right, cool. All right, so first off, we're going to start with publication history. Now, Iron Fist, along with the previously created Shang-Chi, the Master of Kung Fu, he came from Marvel Comics during a pop culture trend in the early to mid-1970s of martial arts heroes. Now, writer co-creator Roy Thomas wrote in a text piece in Marvel Premiere number 15 that Iron Fist's origin and creation owes a lot to the 1940s Bill Everett character Amazing Man. Now, Amazing Man is basically this golden age character, wears a Speedo, punches stuff.
Love it.
That's all he's amazing. He's amazing at punching things.
Apparently.
Yeah. Now, Thomas later wrote that he and artist co-creator Gil Kane, and I'm quoting Roy Thomas here, "I started Iron Fist because I had seen my first Kung Fu movie, even before a Bruce Lee came out. Bruce Lee 1 had come out. And it had a thing called the Ceremony of the Iron Fist in it. And I thought that that was a great name. And we at Marvel already had Master of Kung Fu going. So I thought, maybe a superhero could be called Iron Fist. Even though we already have Iron Man, maybe that would be a good idea. And publisher Stan Lee liked the name, so I got a hold of Gil, and he brought in some Amazing Man influences, and we designed the character together."
Crazy.
So that is the publication history of Iron Fist.
Roy Thomas said, "We already have a kung fu guy, but let's make another one.
Let's have two."
Yeah.
Now on to his fictional history.
All right, hit me up.
Daniel Rand was the son of businessman Wendell Rand, who once lived in this fabled city of Kun Lun, which actually exists in another dimensional realm.
Ooh.
Now, this mystical city of Kun Lun actually lies in the Kun Lun Mountains.
Oh, well, that's convenient. Yep.
It's one of the longest mountain chains in Asia. It extends more than 3,000 kilometers.
Wow.
And the mountain range exists entirely in the Tibet region of the People's Republic of China.
Oh, cool.
Now, Kun Lun, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the city because you need to understand the city before we get back to Danny.
Sure.
Kun Lun is one of the seven capital cities of heaven, which all of these cities appear on the earthly plane periodically. The other cities are Kun Zi, Peng Lei Island, one of these, I'm going to have a lot of bad mispronunciations in this, Zagambo, Undercity, Tiger Island, and the Kingdom of Spiders. Every 88 years, all of these cities align in a heavenly convergence, creating the Heart of Heaven. These cities hold a tournament, and each have a champion that represents them. Kun Lun, of course, has the Iron Fist.
Mm.
The tournament decides the celestial clock, meaning that Earth is the prize. Now, the winning city would get to appear on the earthly plane every 10 years rather than every 88.
Oh, I see.
So every 88, you get every 88 years, these cities fight to get the place to have to show up every decade.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To have basically a better connection to Earth.
Yeah, stronger connection. That's cool.
Now let's go back to the Rands.
Okay.
Now, Wendell Rand Kai, as he was known on Kun Lun, he was the adopted son and heir to Lord Tuan. Tuan, who ruled Kun Lun under the guise of UT, the august personage in Jade.
Mm.
However, Wendell was driven by Kun Lun by his brother Nuan, who not only wanted to rule Kun Lun himself, but was Wendell's rival for the love of a woman named Shikara.
It's always the woman,
yep,
and always the brothers.
Yes, it was Wendell that Shikara chose, and she bore him a daughter named Miranda.
Ah.
Wendell got kicked out of the city, of course, and found a refuge on Earth and became a very successful businessman in the United States. And in his absence, Tuan died, and Wendell's brother succeeded him as UT, the august personage in Jade. So UT is like the title.
Mm-hmm.
Wendell married a woman named Heather, who bore him a son named Daniel on the earthly plane.
Aw, baby Danny.
Wendell sought to return to Kun Lun, which ordinarily was only accessible from Earth through an interdimensional nexus that I said opens only once every 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And when Daniel was 9, his father traveled to Tibet along with Heather and his business partner, Harold Meacham, in search of the nexus to Kun Lun.
Mm.
Toppling off a treacherous mountain passage, Daniel dragged his mother and father over the ice shelf with him. And while he and his mother landed on a ledge below, his father dangled over the sheer drop of a mountainside and called to his partner, Harold, for help. Hoping to take over the Rand's share of the business, Meacham instead caused him to lose his grip and made Wendell plunge to his death.
What a jerk.
Yep. Though Meacham offered to help Heather Rand and her son, they actually spurned him, and they attempted to make it back to camp on their own. Although Heather and her son spied a long suspension bridge just as a pack of wolves attacked.
Oh.
Now, Heather tried to hold off the wolves long enough to allow Daniel to run across the bridge, and she was thus killed by the wolf pack.
By wolves?
Yes.
Wow, that's horrible. He should have become Wolfman.
Little did they know that this suspension bridge led to Kun Lun.
Ah, very convenient.
Yep, and denizens of Kun Lun found the boy and took him to their city. There, Daniel was brought before UT. This is the UT, the brother of Wendell.
His uncle.
Yep, and UT apprenticed Daniel to the master arts master, Lei Kung the Thunderer.
Wow.
Vowing to avenge his parents, Daniel Rand studied martial arts for years under Lei Kung while growing up in Kun Lun. His closest friends were Miranda Rand Kai, whom he did not know was his half-sister, and a Kun Lun boy named Konal.
Cool.
I think Konal. I'm not sorry. I'm going to say Konal.
Cool.
Rand's training under Lei Kung was rigorous, and at age 16, Rand earned the crown of Fuxi, King of Vipers, because he vanquished 4 foes in the ritualistic challenge of the many. And he defeated Shu Hu, a mechanical being whose name means lightning. Rand diligently conditioned his hands by thrusting them into tubs of hot sand, then gravel, then rock. So he spent a lot of his days just punching buckets of rocks.
Just putting his hands in stuff and being like, this is going to make me a lot stronger. So you go sand, gravel, rocks, Iron Fist.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. You're basically like, he didn't even need the Iron Fist powers. He could have just done the rocks.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. At age 19, Danny was given the opportunity to gain the power of the Iron Fist, and he was sent to battle the enormous fire-breathing serpent called Xiao Lao the Undying.
Hey, I know this.
Yes. Now, this is the procedure that every Iron Fist has to go through. Now, Xu Lao lived in a cave outside the city, and he ferociously guarded a brazier, which is basically a container that contains hot coals.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That contains its heart, which had been mystically removed from its body. In their battle, Rand grabbed the serpent's body, which bore a scar which imprinted itself upon Rand's chest. That is the dragon scar that you see on Iron Fist's chest in every version of Iron Fist.
Yes.
Danny killed the serpent, and he plunged his hands into the brazier and grabbed the molten heart with his hands, which gave him a quasi-mystical force and earned him the title of the Iron Fist. He absorbed this part of this dragon's chi into his body. This Iron Fist now meant that he could summon superhuman energy, to reinforce the power of his blows that were struck by his hands. Some would call him now the Iron Fist! Now, you may be asking yourself, Ashley, how powerful is the Iron Fist punch?
Ashley. Well, how powerful is the Iron Fist punch? That's a great question.
Well, let me tell you.
Tell me.
The Iron Fist punch is this. By summoning his chi and focusing it into his hand, Danny could now draw upon the superhuman energy derived from the heart of the mystic serpent Xiao Lao, and it could make his fist inhumanly powerful and superhumanly resistant to energy and pain on a superhuman scale.
Wow.
This Iron Fist technique does not involve a physical transformation of any kind. It is simply a psychic channeling of concentrated natural energy. Now, with his fist in this state, Rand can shatter wood, brick, steel, and punch his opponents with extraordinary concussive force without sustaining any injury to himself. So he will be grounded like a rock.
Yeah.
And he can punch somebody like a tank.
Wow.
And they will like rocket away from him. The force of this technique, to give you an idea of how powerful this is, the force of the technique has rendered incredibly durable superhumans unconscious.
Okay.
Danny has used this on several of the heroes in the Marvel Universe. Just to give you an example, Danny once rendered Colossus unconscious with this punch.
Oh, Peter.
So to give you an idea of the power scale here.
Yeah.
Of how powerful he is. The Iron Fist also grants Rand with many abilities that he has not mastered yet, such as being able to channel the Shaolao Chi into a ranged weapon, such as an energy gun or an energy bow that he can shoot at people.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes. Now, he hasn't quite mastered that in the comic books, but we have been shown other Iron Fists that can do that.
I like the idea of a bow. That's really cool.
Yeah. Now, back to Danny.
Yeah.
Now, Danny declined to stay in Kunlun eternally, and he returned to America when the Nexus reopened in order to take vengeance on Harold Meacham for his father's death. So this is 19-year-old Danny Rand going to America.
Yeah.
While recovering from severe frostbite in the Himalayas.
Like you do.
We're back at the time.
Yeah.
Harold Meacham learned of Rand's training at Kunlun and returned to America as an invalid to await Danny, because he kind of figured that Danny was going to come after him. Clad in the ceremonial garb of the Iron Fist, the green and yellow costume that, of course, we see.
Heck yeah.
Actually, most Iron Fists always have the bandana that Danny has across their head.
Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Rand confronted Meacham, but took pity on him and spared him.
Aww.
Minutes later, however, a mysterious ninja murdered Meacham. And blamed for the murder by Meacham's daughter, Joy, Iron Fist undertook the mission of finding the ninja and clearing his own name, and eventually the Iron Fist succeeded in both tasks.
I think that's interesting that he's framed for murder in much the same way that Luke Cage was, who he will go on to team up
Very
with.
Very similar, yes. During the same time, Danny accompanied a woman named Jade to Fang Tu, which was Kun Lun's afterlife. There in Kun Lun's afterlife, he met his mother, who in this afterlife had taken on the name Silver Dragon and had been slayed by the sorcerer Dasha Khan. While in Feng Tu, he was killed by the bowman so that he could fight Khan as a spirit. And after defeating him, Rand was restored to life by Jade.
Ah.
But he got to meet his mom.
That's nice.
Soon afterward, Iron Fist fought the Steel Serpent, a master martial artist specializing in the delayed death touch. The Serpent had twice in the past been defeated by UT in attempts to take over Kun Lun, and he fell victim to his own power during the assault on Iron Fist. Now, the reason I bring up Steel Serpent is Steel Serpent is kind of Iron Fist's Joker, almost.
Sure.
His most prominent villain. Also, I just want to point out that the symbol of the Steel Serpent has been seen in the Netflix series, especially in the Defender series, the Daredevil series, excuse me, several times.
Cool.
So
he's probably going to be a big deal.
Yes, yes, he will. Iron Fist was befriended by Professor Li Wing and his daughter Colleen, a private investigator. When she was kidnapped by Master Khan, he and Colleen's partner, Misty Knight, tracked down leads about her whereabouts to England, where Iron Fist clashed with Radion and Scimitar. He finally discovered Colleen in Khan's fortress in Hawan, where she attacked him under the influence of Angar the Screamer. Iron Fist managed to free her from the mental control by using his powers to bridge their minds, which is another ability of the Iron Fist.
Very cool.
Together, they managed to defeat Angar and Khan, but not before Dany learned the truth about his adopted uncle, Noan, and that Noan had driven his father from Kun Lun and that he was responsible for his mother's death.
Aw.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah. Eventually, Dany Ran became the lover of Misty Knight.
That's right.
And at the request of her friend Blackbird, he teamed up with Shang-Chi, Jack of Hearts, and White Tiger to take down the Corporation. Now, the Corporation was a nationwide criminal political organization run like a business, and it employed a large number of operatives in its scheme. So this is, like, kind of the first time that he, like, teamed up with all the street-level kung fu characters of the Marvel 70s.
Yeah, this also sounds very proto-hero, heroes for hire. I'm surprised we don't see more of him and Shang-Chi hanging out now.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Although Harold Meacham's daughter, Joy... Mm-hmm. and his brother, Ward, had mistakenly sought vengeance on Iron Fist for Harold's death, Daniel finally made peace with Joy Meacham. And Daniel was able to claim his inheritance as a full partner in Rand Meacham Incorporated, thus becoming a millionaire.
Nice. Well done, Dany Rand.
But here's the thing about Dany.
Mm-hmm.
He's very zen, right?
Right, as one would expect.
Yeah, and Rand allowed Joy Meacham to manage his business because his activities as Iron Fist had led him to become a crime fighter.
So you're saying Dany Rand is a feminist?
No, I'm saying that Dany Rand was able to let his vengeance go and let the daughter of the man who killed his father.
That's cool.
You know, he let bygones be bygones.
Yeah, but she'd already been doing a good job, I would assume. So that's cool.
And then he defended Misty Knight from Luke Cage.
Yes! I know what you're going to talk about.
Now, Luke Cage, if you don't know, we have a Geek History lesson all about Luke Cage. He's a super strong mercenary who had been blackmailed into serving Knight's enemy, Bushmaster. Now, Iron Fist, Knight, and Colleen Wing helped Cage break Bushmaster's hold, and Iron Fist soon formed a partnership with Cage as the heroes for hire, taking assignments as bodyguards and private investigators, and... while Iron Fist and the cynically very down-to-earth Luke Cage were very different, they shared a dedication to justice, and they eventually became the bestest of friends.
Buddies. That's cool. I really like that story.
Yeah, we all like that story. It's the perfect partnership.
It is.
And, you know, just to let you out there, best friends are hard to come by. And we like to thank you, the listeners. We like to think of you, the listeners of this podcast, as best friends. So, friend... yes, you, friend in the back. Why don't you head on over to patreon.com/Jawin and support the podcast. For as little as $1 a month, you can help the Mind University, and that would actually be a quarter of an episode if you think about that. You give $1, you're only paying 25 cents per episode. That's a deal. It's the idea of support for support. If you ever repeat a fact you learned here that from this podcast, then we supported you. So why not support us? Go to patreon.com/Jawin and help us out, and we'll fill your ear holes with the Patreon exclusive podcast, Geek History Lesson Extra.
Oh, that's true.
That's right. We'll see you over there, friend, and a big thank you to all of our Patreons for their support.
Thank you.
Now back to the heroes for hire.
Yes, let's.
During their return visit to Kun Lun, however, Dany Rand was exposed to a deadly radiation, and he was diagnosed with cancer. Almost immediately after, he was kidnapped by the Hyarithi? I don't know how you say that name.
Sure.
They were ancient alien enemies of Kun Lun, who planned an invasion of Earth. And a plant matter clone of Rand briefly took his place in the real world, but it was unknown to all of his friends.
Wait, but he was a plant?
Yep.
Okay. Yep.
One day, this Iron Fist used his superhuman healing power to try to cure a young boy named Bobby Wright of his terminal disease. The disease was a side effect of the exposure to radiation that enabled Wright to transform himself into an adult superhuman being who called himself Captain Hero. Sounds very much like Captain Marvel, right?
Oh, yeah.
Iron Fist went into a trance outside Wright's hospital room in an attempt to rest after the effort of trying to heal him. And in another attempt to help Wright, duplicates of Kree Nega Bands were placed on his wrists. As a result of Wright suffered intense pain and transforming into Captain Hero, he struck Iron Fist repeatedly, desperately trying to bring him out of his trance. Misjudging his superhuman strength, because he's a kid, Captain Hero instead seemingly killed Iron Fist before disappearing himself. Luke Cage, however, was blamed for this murder, like Luke Cage.
Sure.
It happens in Luke Cage's story. Go listen to his Geek History lesson. You'll find that out.
Uh-huh.
And he went on the run instead of facing the law. And the Heroes for Hire business was effectively dismantled. And this was where the series where Luke moved to Chicago started.
Oh, yeah.
So Iron Fist is dead.
Okay. Good lesson. You did a great job. Yeah. I'm so glad we spent this time together.
Sometime after this, though, the alien Super Skull duplicated Rand's likeness, fully assuming his identity in order to use the Rand Corporation, because that's what aliens like to do. They like to take over corporations.
Corporate takeover.
But he wanted to actually gain economic control of the Antarctic paradise known as the Savage Land. Ashley, what's the Savage Land?
The Savage Land is a Marvel Comics continent, I guess, where there's a bunch of dinosaurs.
It's a place it's in Antarctica.
Yeah, there's a bunch of dinosaurs.
Yep.
That's basically what's important about it.
That's right. This conflicted with the plans of another company called Oracle Inc., which is owned by Prince Namor the Submariner.
It really sounds like it should be owned by Barbara Gordon. I know that's the wrong continuity, but...
and listeners, if you remember from our past Fantastic Four episode, Prince Namor also owns a movie studio. So he likes to own businesses.
He does.
Which
he's
is weird.
He's got a very diverse portfolio.
Yep. Namorita, and Misty Knight confronted Super Skrull, who, with his plans ruined, abandoned Rand's identity and fled. And the assembled heroes set out on a search for the real Danny Rand, eventually freeing him for the Harithi with the help of Namor and the sorcerer Doctor Strange.
Oh, Doctor Strange. We like him.
Danny Rand found himself cured of his cancer due to his chi meditations while he was in stasis with the Harithi.
Wow, that's a great trick.
Following the seemingly deaths of most of Earth's heroes at the hands of the sentient psionic menace known as Onslaught, Ashley.
Jason.
What happened in the Onslaught event?
In the Onslaught event, Professor X got a bunch of armor and went all evil and killed a bunch of people. That is the story I'm sticking with here.
Yes, and Onslaught is the event where the Avengers and the Fantastic Four sacrificed themselves, and they got stuck in a pocket dimension, which became known as Heroes Reborn.
Oh, yeah, and then Franklin has to save them.
Yeah. So the Avengers, the Fantastic Four, all gone.
Aww.
Luke and Danny decide to reform Heroes for Hire.
Yay!
The duo decided to expand the membership of Heroes for Hire, and the agency merged with Oracle Incorporated, the corporation owned by Prince Namor, the Atlantean Submariner, to protect the world from danger for a price.
For a price.
Yep. We ain't doing this for free, Ashley.
Well, especially not Namor.
Yep. The original Human Torch, Jim Hammond, lined up the jobs, and Iron Fist acted as the field commander. Mm. The core team consisted of Iron Fist, Luke Cage, and an assortment of others. Black Knight, a new White Tiger, Ant-Man Scott Lang, and together they battled the UFOs and the Master of the World.
Cool. I didn't know Scott Lang was a part of that.
That's right.
That's cool.
This Heroes for Hire, though, was dissolved when Namor decided to shut down funding for the operation because his business was hurting for money.
He's like, I got to make more movies, guys.
Yeah, that's right. And this was the run that was written by John Ostrander, as I was talking about.
Oh, cool.
Hoping to share the wisdom of his other dimensional homeworld with humanity, Iron Fist inhabited a summoning spell to call Kunlun, to Earth. Tied to his heartbeat, the kingdom would eventually materialize, merging with whatever city he occupied at the time. But Junzo Muto, teenage leader of the sacred cult of martial arts called the Hand, forcibly seized the power of Iron Fist prior to Kunlun's arrival, and he drew the hero to Japan so the kingdom would materialize in the midst of modern-day Tokyo.
Oh, that's cool.
Aided by the feral X-Men known as Wolverine.
Hey.
And a number of the planet's mightiest heroes, Iron Fist put down Junzo's plan and halted the amalgamation of the two cities, Kunlun and Tokyo.
Tokyo.
However, during the story, his power of the Iron Fist was stolen by Junzo.
Oh, no.
And Danny has no superpowers now.
Well, then what's the point?
Yeah, I know, right? He's no longer the Iron Fist. He's
Danny, what are you doing?
He is the No More Fist!
That's not fun at all.
Later, one of Iron Fist and Black Panther's enemies, Nightshade, resurrected the Black Dragon in hopes to control it against the Black Panther. And she set the dragon on a mission to capture Panther's U.S. State Department handler, Everett K. Ross. However, the Black Dragon had plans of his own. And instead of capturing Ross, he switched bodies with Ross, a lot of body switching,
sure,
for his own purposes. When this was discovered by the Black Panther, the Panther set out to destroy the dragon's eggs. And not wishing to engage the Panther directly, the dragon controlled Iron Fist, restoring the power of his Iron Fist by using a small favor, borrowed from the dragon's gods, and creating a ballast in his psyche that would brainwash Iron Fist into fighting the Panther. Of course, Iron Fist was able to break free of this control.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't happen, and now Danny Rand has his powers back.
Sweet.
And all was right with the world.
Yay!
Except for the fact that Danny started dressing like Daredevil.
Oh, that's weird. Why would he do that?
Well, Danny Rand disguised himself as Daredevil to help convince the media and the public that Matt Murdock is not a is not the Mist Vigilante. Is Daredevil because the Daredevil identity had been broken by a newspaper, and everybody was like, "Oh, Daredevil's Matt Murdock." So Danny was like, "I'm going to help Matt out. I'm going to start dressing as Daredevil, and then people will know that he's not Daredevil."
Yeah, it was before he had those cool "I am not Daredevil" T-shirts.
That's right. Now, during the Civil War, Ashley, what is that?
Civil War? Well, it's this American thing that happened when you guys were deciding. No, Civil War is a Marvel Comics event where Captain America is like, "I don't think anyone should register who has superpowers." And Iron Man's like, "I think people should register who have superpowers." And then they find people pick sides accordingly and they fight.
That's right. Now, Danny Rand opposes the Superhuman Registration Act, joining Captain America while still pretending to be Daredevil. The Daredevil the Daredevil that is in Civil War is Danny Rand.
Yes.
Rand is apprehended by pro-registration forces, and he's later freed from the Negative Zone prison, joining Captain America's team to battle Iron Man's forces.
Yay!
After the arrest of Captain America, Danny Rand joins the New Avengers, an underground group provided with secure accommodation in the Sanctum Sanctorum by Doctor Strange. Now, this team includes his former teammate, Luke Cage.
Mm-hmm.
And in the public eye, Rand is able to avoid arrest with legal loopholes. But Danny Rand leaves the New Avengers due to a variety of problems and lets them know that if they ever need them, give them a call.
Aww.
And then we get the Iron Fist run that changed everything.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. Now, a Chinese businessman showed up with interest in a contract with the Rand Company, and Danny becomes suspicious, and he ends up badly battered after a fight with Hydra. He then feels that someone else is using the power of the Iron Fist, and he meets his predecessor, Orson Randall, who informs him, that he not only knew his father, but taught his father, Randall as well.
Oh, interesting.
Wendell Rand as well, excuse me. He followed Orson down to his father's secret subway station and was given the Book of the Iron Fist and was told that the history and truth of his title was in this book and that it would prepare him for the Tournament of the Heavenly Cities.
Cool.
After battling the Steel Serpent, Orson sacrificed himself. But before dying, he allowed Danny to touch his heart and take his chi. And Danny rose to fight the Steel Serpent as equals, now with the full powers of Orson Randall within him. But Danny was summoned back to Kunlun by his master, Lei Kung, for the tournament.
Wow.
The tournament consisted not only of Kunlun, but six other cities of heaven. Together, these cities form the Heart of Heaven, the arena where the tournament would be held. Each city had an immortal weapon represented, and each had a unique ability. Now, the immortal weapons are the champions of the various cities, and they are the Bride of Nine Spiders, Dog Brother Number One, Fat Cobra, Iron Fist, Prince of Orphans, Tiger's Beautiful Daughter, Steel Phoenix.
I want to be Fat Cobra.
That's right.
That's awesome.
He's a really cool character.
I know, but it's just such a great name.
Rand was chosen to first fight the enormous Fat Cobra.
Sweet.
And with the blinding speed and fighting prowess of this opponent, it was too much for him. Iron Fist lost the match. However, losing benefited Rand while he was able to travel back to Earth and visit a man named Ernest Erskine to find out more about his predecessor Orson Randall. During his stay, Danny saved Erst and his associates, formerly known as the Confederates of the Curious, from being killed by agents of Hydra. And upon his return to Kunlun, Danny found an ally in the Prince of Orphans, another immortal weapon who is also familiar with Orson Randall. Together, the two of them helped unite the tournament combatants against Hydra and their newest benefactor, a man known only as Zhao.
Mm.
Now, Zhao wanted to destroy Kunlun, but in the process, he would have destroyed all the other cities as well because they're all connected.
Mm-hmm.
And this new team of immortal weapons easily defeated Hydra and foiled Zhao's plans. Meanwhile, Lei Kung and the Army of Thunder cast out the corrupt UT, and Kung took his place as the leader of Kunlun.
Cool. Very cool.
Now, the immortal weapons decided to remain on Earth to assist Iron Fist in finding a rumored eighth capital city of heaven. After a near death experience for Danny at the hands of Zhao Chang, servant of the monstrous Qi Lun.
Mm.
Now, he and the other immortal weapons journeyed to the Eighth City to free political prisoners exiled there by the past rulers of Kunlun. And while there, they got imprisoned by the city's ruler, who is an ancient Iron Fist named Quan. He actually was revealed to be the very first Iron Fist of history, who became disillusioned with Kunlun and rose up to rule the Eighth City as Chang Ming. Rand and Fat Cobra managed to defeat Quan. And Rand's actions during their battle impressed Quan, who decided that maybe Danny Rand was living proof that Kunlun is not the corrupt city it once was. And Rand and Davos agree to guide Quan to Kunlun to arrange a meeting between him and Lei Kung to give Quan a forum for his grievances. To reunite the two.
Yeah, that's nice.
After escaping with the other weapons, Rand returned to Earth, learning that his company had largely collapsed, and he used the remaining funds to open the Rand Foundation, a philanthropic organization.
Yes.
Because after learning that the Rand fortune had actually started Rand International and it was formed from the oppression of the cities of heaven, he decided to make the company into a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping the poor. He also sets up Thunder Dojo in Harlem to help inner city children, and he also buys back the old Heroes for Hire building as the new Rand International headquarters and his new home.
Oh, I really hope that they set up the Thunder Dojo. That'd be so cool.
Yeah. He also learned that his fiance, Misty Nice, had apparently become pregnant. But at the time, both were unaware that his chi energy had actually caused a false pregnancy in Misty.
Mm-hmm.
When Steve Rogers placed Cage in charge of a new team of Avengers based out of the rebuilt Avengers mansion, Rand joined. But before long, the team was embroiled in a war with the mystical entity Agamotto.
Ooh.
Who had wished to reclaim Doctor Strange's Eye of Agamotto amulet. And during this, Iron Fist was drawn into Agamotto's dimension, where Agamotto, marked Rand as his new champion with a new white costume. Hence the new costume that Iron Fist, he's white for a while, costume. And Doctor Strange realizes that now Iron Fist is now an immortal weapon for Agamotto.
Do you like the white costume as an Iron Fist fan?
Not at all.
Okay.
it's very weird.
It is weird.
After his friend Daredevil fell under the ninja cult The Hand's influence and building the massive Shadowland fortress in Hell's Kitchen and apparently executing his nemesis Bullseye, Iron Fist and several of his vigilante allies confronted Murdoch. But Daredevil, possessed by The Hand's demonic master, The Beast, ignited a full-on war with the streets of New York. Iron Fist assisted and ended the situation by helping to cleanse Murdoch of The Beast's influence with a blast of his chi energy.
Good going, Danny.
And then became the reveal of Misty's pregnancy, being falsely created by his chi energy, and it actually effectively ended the relationship.
Yeah, kind of made me sad.
Yeah. And in the Marvel Now era, currently, Iron Fist joins Luke Cage as the Heroes for Hire in a series called Heroes for Hire. And the, Power Man Iron Fist, excuse me. And the synopsis is actually, when a villain gets her hand on the mystic super soul stone, the Big Apple may end up poisoned by magic unless Luke and Danny can put a stop to her plan. And I don't want to talk too much about that series because it's currently going on. I don't want to ruin it.
Yeah.
So there you go.
It's good, though.
Yeah, and that is the comic history of Iron Fist.
Woo!
There you go.
Good job.
Let's move into the recommended reading,
where we are going to recommend a bunch of stuff that you can read. You can find this and everything we've ever recommended if you go to geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading. Click on one of those Amazon widgets, get you something to read, and throw a little bit of support back our way.
The very first thing I recommend is The Immortal Iron Fist, The Complete Collection, Volume 1. This is Ed Brubaker and Matt Fraction's run. This is the one where he meets Orson Randall and he learns that there are many other Iron Fists.
Mm-hmm.
It's where it becomes a legacy. It's not just about a character. And
cool.
And it starts the Heavenly Tournament.
Nice.
It is, no doubt, the best Iron Fist story of all time.
You heard it here first.
Number two, I would pick Power Man and Iron Fist Volume 1, The Boys Are Back in Town. This is the first trade that collects the modern art. It's really great. Luke Cage wears a yellow shirt with a vest, and Iron Fist gets a really cool Bruce Lee-inspired costume. It's a lot of fun.
Iron Fist is very silly in this, and I really like it.
Danny's a silly person.
Yeah.
So there you go. And then Iron Fist Epic Collection, The Fury of Iron Fist, collects some of the classic Iron Fist stuff by Chris Claremont and John Byrne. And I included this because, fun fact, this is where Sabretooth is introduced. Wolverine villain is introduced.
Yes.
And this is where we get an interesting idea. John Byrne was the artist during this run.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that the idea of the alien costume that would become Spider-Man's famous black suit and later his arch nemesis Venom was originally conceived during this time by John Byrne for Danny Rand. Byrne intended to introduce the concept of a self-healing alien suit because of how often Iron Fist's costume was damaged in battle.
Mm.
And John didn't particularly envision Danny as being the type of character that would sit down and sew up his costumes. So he was like, oh, this is the explanation. Here it is.
That's funny. That's super funny.
All right, so now we're going to move into discussion.
Yeah, let's discuss some stuff about Iron Fist and how great he is. and what maybe I learned this time around.
Ashley.
Yes, Jason.
What do you see as Iron Fist's role in the Marvel Universe?
That's kind of a tough question because I do feel like the conceit of Iron Fist is dated.
Yes.
I think he is a product of his time, and I think that...
As we learned in this lesson.
As we learned in this lesson, and I think that makes him problematic. And there are a ton of other characters that are like that. Luke Cage, easily.
Almost every character created during the 70s at street level.
Yes.
Misty Knight, in fact.
But I feel like Luke Cage can transcend a little bit easier than Danny. I think Danny's a tough concept. I really feel like his role is as support.
Uh-huh.
I think he probably works better as a supporting character. I think that way you can gloss over some of the weirder things about his character.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, yeah, his role is as support for Luke Cage.
I agree.
That's what I think.
He's always at his best when he's in the Heroes for Hire.
Yeah. Or I think the way to do a great solo series is to do what Brubaker and Fraction did, is like you have to completely divorce him from what we know of the Marvel Universe and discover something new.
Well, they basically were just like, all right, let's put Iron Fist into Mortal Kombat. But also they did the thing is...
But it worked.
It did. And they also did this interesting thing, which is some people... Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And I go back and forth on this, but I kind of like it. They won me over in the story. The fact that there are many other Iron Fists, which is something that a lot of writers tend to do. We're like, oh, you're not the first person of this character. But I'll give them the way they... At first, when I heard that, I was like, that's silly. But once they gave you the history of it, I thought, like, oh, that's neat.
I think of it as being like the Avatar a little bit.
Yes.
Which is kind of cool.
Which makes sense with that universe.
Yeah, and that mythology for sure.
No. Ashley, what is your favorite Iron Fist costume? Because he's got several.
I like the one with the big collar.
The classic one.
Yeah, I think it's really silly.
Oh, I hate it.
I'll tell you why I like it, though. I like it because, to me, it feels like the most true to its origin because, yeah, it's a ninja suit. Like, they're all ninja suits. But the collar feels very, like, Eastern fashion of the time, and I like that about it. And I think Danny's color scheme is really... audacious, I guess I'll say. I don't think it's good. I don't like the green and yellow. I think they look ugly together.
You get out of here.
So I think if you're going to do green and yellow, like, just go full, like, Disco Nightwing with it and pop the collar. Yeah, mm-hmm. I do. That's my favorite costume.
Interesting.
Yours is the slim down green and gold.
Originally, yes. It's the one that they introduced in the Immortal Iron Fist run, where it's just like, it's a green. I hate the collar. I do not like the collar.
I mean, there's no point. I just think it's so silly.
But he has the slim down where he has the... But I actually really, really like the new costume they gave him.
I like the new costume, too.
Power Man and Iron Fist, because it's very Bruce Lee Game of Death, if you ever seen that.
Mm-hmm.
That like, so it's like they made it a tracksuit, and I like the yellow stripes that come down his arms now. In fact, to be honest with you, that's kind of the costume that I would love to see... in the future, like in the Defenders. I would love them to just do that costume.
It's interesting because I really like the new costume as well because I think it is of a piece with Luke.
Yeah.
Like, their costumes are designed to go together.
Yeah.
Which I really appreciate, especially for that team.
Yep. Cool. All right, let's move into the final section of the podcast, the teaching tweet.
Where in 140 characters or less, Professor Jason is going to sum up everything he just taught us about Iron Fist.
A sweet yellow bandana. A yellow t-shirt wearing friend. A fist that glows yellow. The Iron Fist really loves yellow.
Oh, that's so funny.
It's very common. He does. He loves yellow. It's all over the place.
It is. It's a good color for him.
Sure.
He's blonde. It goes well.
All right, everybody out there, thank you so much for listening to this geek history lesson on Iron Fist, of course.
Yeah,
and really quickly, I just want to give a quick shout out to the people that suggested this lesson. Kyme Steinberg, Tobias, Austin Bager, and Andy Hash, thank you again for suggesting the Iron Fist lesson. And Ashley, if other listeners out there want to suggest future lessons, where can they do that?
They can do that at geekhistorylesson.com, facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, or on Twitter at @GHLpodcast. There's a ton of different ways to get in contact with us in both of those places.
And don't forget, you can subscribe and download this podcast on Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes. And if you go over to iTunes, please go over there, give us a rating, and also give us a review, because if you do that, we'll pick out some of your reviews and we'll read them on the podcast. Like M 1204-1671, who put this review, so fun and entertaining for comic book lovers. Prefer this over any radio station. You heard it here.
Yeah.
They like us better than the radios.
Thank you.
Don't forget, you can find us on Twitter at GHL Podcast, and for me at Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N, and for Ashley at Ashley V. Robinson. And then you can find us on Patreon. Ashley, where can they find us on Patreon?
They can do that at patreon.com/Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N, and get you some Geek History Lesson Extra.
Today's episode of Geek History Lesson Extra will be, who could Iron Fist beat in the DC Universe?
Ooh.
But I think it's going to be a really fun episode. All right, thank you for listening to Geek History Lesson. I am Jason Steelfist Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson, and Professor Jason, would you please take us away?
Master your chi, focus it into your fist, and then you can punch iron walls like the Iron Fist! End meditation.
I can't believe we had the budget to get Mako in here.